Can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
That's right. We're riding with the king here. Howard Eskin joining us on a Monday after another victory. Sponsored by McGurk's Papa Grill. McGurk's Roarsford location is now open, and another one is coming soon to Langhorne. If you're looking for a spot to watch the game, make it McGurk's. Howard, how are you today?
Oh, I'm just great. Hey, Hugh.
Yes.
You can't change the bet because we.
What do you mean?
You can't change the bet. Mm-hmm.
Wait, I'm not changing the bet.
Tell him, Howard.
It was shaved off.
Wait,
and now you're changing it.
No,
to green.
I have options. Like, I have two options, and everybody wants me to go green, and you know, and wear the green beard. But I said I might shave it because I don't want to give everybody the satisfaction.
What
of
was the original? What
me.
Was the original deal or bet or whatever? It was
the original bet. Well, it kind of evolved into the green because Joe over here. You know, if you want to talk about somebody to change the bet, talk to Joe because Joe the one that has been meandered.
We wanted the audience to have some participation.
He wanted more bang for your buck, so then that's when he said the green.
Because a whole month of the green, Howard. Yeah. It would last from the beginning of the
green
postseason
all
through the Super Bowl.
That's not a penalty.
Well, he would look pretty silly with a green beard with him for a month.
Please. And when he made the bet, the Eagles have only given up about 13, just a tad over 13 points a game.
That's right.
That's another thing. And so don't get me – it's only 13 points a game. Since you made the bet. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And that's the best part of this team. We can listen, Jalen had a great game. And I said that all week. I thought it was going to be either their best or one of their best games of the year because they were galvanized. And that's a word that I used. And Nick Sirianni used that after the game as well. So I could see this coming. That they were going to say, hey, we're going to shove it right up where the sun doesn't shine, and we're going to show you we're a good football team. And the defense, Hugh Douglas, is the reason they are where they are. Two turnovers, and they stopped them for 3 points with both turnovers. It's the defense. So let's get into all this. Who is responsible? Does it matter? They won the game. They dominated. They are a very, very good football team. And who is responsible? Here, I'm going to give you my list, and you can put anyone, one, two, or three. A.J. Brown, Brandon Graham, and Nick Sirianni. And you can put any one of them, one, two, or three. Because A.J. Brown, and he doubled down on it yesterday. when he said, you know, I put it out there for a reason. So he doubled down on it. Brandon Graham had to, you know, fall on the sword and step back. But he felt it when he did that show, when he did the show, which we do again tonight, when we did the show on Monday night. He felt it. And not that wasn't his intention. It was A.J. Brown's. It wasn't his intention. But he didn't want to see a excellent football team fall apart over something foolish like that. And Nick Sirianni is either the best or one of the best coaches in the NFL to handle a situation like this because the players trust him and they believe in him. So, hey, listen, we were just a messenger. WIP was the messenger, and that's fine. And, you know, we got a little carried away, but we were the messenger. So, I mean, when you look at all those things, it's a win, and that's what it comes down to. Mike Schmidt, and it reminds me because of the Mike Schmidt documentary last night. It's the thrill of victory and the agony of reading about it the next day.
That's it. Howard, they've won 10 in a row. You mentioned the defense. It's been great. It looks like the best defense in the NFL. Jalen played better yesterday, his best game.
Yep.
Howard, at this point, do you think they're the best team in football?
Well, after the Detroit game yesterday, I can't believe in Minnesota. I just can't believe. So in the NFC, I believe they are the best. Buffalo, my gosh, they just steamroll. And they gave up 40-some points 2 weeks in a row. However, it was catch-up points when the other team was well behind. So I don't think their defense is as bad as giving up 40 points. They really are good. I'm not sure that they're better than Buffalo, but I think they're as good as Buffalo. But there's no question now, I think, that Josh Allen's going to be the MVP, so we can stop all this and concentrate on what is most important, and that's winning. Josh Allen is, the guy's amazing. He has really developed into a well-rounded, terrific quarterback. But I think it's between the Eagles and Buffalo. Kansas City are frauds. They are a good team, but they're not a Super Bowl team. Give me a break. And I don't care who the Eagles would play in a Super Bowl if they got there. I mean, I don't care about revenge. I care about playing in the Super Bowl. Buffalo and the Eagles, think about that matchup. The two fan bases of both those cities are unbelievable. Can you imagine that crash?
Down on Bourbon Street all week, too? It'd be wild. Awesome.
I was down there for, who did the Bears play when Jim McMahon was the quarterback?
Patriots.
The Patriots. I remember all that because I was at that Super Bowl, too. It was nuts on Bourbon Street, and that's in 85.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine the way it is now with social media and all these nitwits shooting video and all this other nonsense? It would be absolutely one of the greatest fan engagements in the history of Super Bowls, without question, if it was Buffalo and the Eagles. I'm looking at that.
No, that's a wild time. That would
great.
Be wild.
You know, and it's a former Eagles coach.
Yep.
And he's a good coach, and he's a really good guy, and former Eagles personnel that are up there. So it's just, that's the matchup that I would look for. But, hey, let's not get ahead of ourselves. But if they win next week, and I'll think about it, but revenge games are tough when you have a good team in division. But I think Washington, boy, they have escaped a few times this year. But this is the toughest game left this year. They win that game, and I think they win the rest of the season. Now, that's assuming that they play everybody the last game mm-hmm. against the stinking Giants. Because
they might be able to beat them with their backups, though. They might get another win there. Howard, let me ask you this question, because you referenced Buffalo and the Eagles looking like the two best teams. And I agree with you. That right now, they look like they're the best, especially when you factor in Detroit's injuries. By the way, another one just came through. David Montgomery, MCL injury, their running back, could be out for the season. Mm. So another big one for Detroit. But Howard, how important is the one seed? Because I agree with you. Eagles and Buffalo look better. But it still is likely that Detroit and Kansas City are going to be the one seeds. Do you think that matters that much, or the Eagles and Bills can get through them even on the road?
I think it matters for a couple of reasons. I think they can win in both places. Obviously, it's more difficult. I think they'd have a better chance of winning in Minnesota than Detroit, because I think Detroit's a better team than Minnesota. But it's that bye week. It's that one less playoff game. So all you have to do if you get the bye is win one game at home to get to the conference championship. And then, obviously, I mean, I'll use a cliche. Well, Jalen used, what, 150 yesterday?
Yeah, so he was on fire.
Yep.
I couldn't believe, you know, you can't have that kind of edge. Hey, listen, AJ is the one that started the ball rolling, and there was an issue there. So, but anything can happen when you play in a championship game. So I would like them better against Minnesota, but yeah, they can win. They're a good team. The Eagles have I don't know if it's the best road record in the NFL, but if it's not the best, it's the second best road record. When you only lose two games, I guess that's going to happen. They play well on the road. Sometimes they're better on the road. It is crazy, but sometimes they really are better on the road. So the road doesn't bother me, but it's the bye, I think, it's that extra week off, and everybody gets healthy, and everybody's ready, and I think that would be that's really the best part of it. That's really the best. That's why teams play, I think, you know, most teams play well after they get a bye. So that's the most important.
Well, especially now with the only one bye. So it'll be interesting, Howard. Howard, good stuff. We appreciate it. Cause more problems tonight on the Brandon Graham Show, right? Get more headlines, Howard.
Is that what you were looking for? Is that what you guys wanted?
Headlines, Howard. Sound bites. No, Howard, we appreciate it.
All right.
Have a good one.
Have a good one.
There he goes. Howard Eskin there. How about that, the way Howard framed it? He thinks Buffalo and the Eagles are the two best teams. Hugh, what makes it interesting as we head towards the playoffs. Now, it's not over. Both of those teams could be the one seeds. But right now, neither of those teams are the one seed. It's still Kansas City. It's still Detroit. But those teams are getting banged up, and they don't look quite as good as they did a month ago. Meanwhile, Buffalo and the Eagles are looking great.
Yeah, and Josh Allen, like, he's on a mission, man.
It was pretty commendable
that they were able, Detroit, were able to get back in that game. But, boy, yeah, they jumped on. When I tell you, we were, because it was on the same time the Eagles were on, and we was watching it, they jumped out on the Detroit Lions quickly.
And 35-14 at one point.
Yeah, before you knew it, man. So, yeah, I like what he's doing. He might be the MVP. That's the unfortunate thing.
Right now he's pulling away. Like, yeah, I mean, the last 2 weeks he's just, it's almost like he's put
like
on
minus
show.
900 right now.
I know. He's really pulled away in this thing. It's probably over unless there's an injury. Like, unless he gets knocked out the next game and doesn't play a game, and then maybe Saquon goes crazy. But yeah, the dreams of Saquon winning the MVP are dissipating. 215-592-9494. All right, let's go to the phone lines here. Violet in Virginia. Hey, Violet.
Violet.
Hey guys, how are you?
Hey,
Violet,
how you
what's up?
I am so excited for this team. I'm so excited for Jalen. Let me find my notes, because I get nervous and then I forget stuff. So,
I think all our callers should have notes. I like this, Violet. Yeah. Go ahead.
All right. So, don't get mad, but honestly, I never thought that what AJ said was really a big deal. I mean, I think they asked him a question and he answered it. And Hugh, I wanted to say that Jalen has definitely hopped over the middle console and he is definitely in the driver's seat now.
Yeah, he definitely
is. Yeah, he drove that. I mean, he was the driver the whole game yesterday, Violet. He drove that one for sure.
And actually, I wonder what you guys think of this. I kept wanting to get in and say that I thought Jalen's comment when that whole controversial AJ thing was going on, he mentioned something about it. It almost sounded like it was a coaching thing. So I wonder if there was a change in the game plan. Because I knew from the beginning when Jalen first got here and even that Super Bowl, he is capable of great things. And I think we saw that. And I think, I don't know, maybe there was a change in the game plan, and for whatever reason, that maybe gave Jalen some more confidence. I don't know, but he was on fire, and I am just so happy for all of them because they just really, really deserve it. They really do.
Well, they played great football. And Violet, good phone call. I mean, Hugh, I think there was a change in the game plan. And you referenced this earlier in the show that maybe – In retrospect now, after Jalen's comments yesterday that, you know, we could do this, we just watered other parts of the team, go back to AJ last week, that maybe the maybe it was as much about them and each other as it was the coaches. Like, let us do this more.
Yeah, it was something. Because I think AJ, well, excuse me,
Jalen
is very smart. And when you hear him talk, he doesn't say anything all willy-nilly. Like, when you go back to the press conference that he had last week and he was talking about we need to do, and he always said we. We need to do a better job in the passing game. And then he said, I think at one point. And I think that this week, for whatever reason, there was more of a conscious effort to put them in position to be successful. I don't know if that was more so the coach or the quarterback, but his decision-making was a lot quicker than it has been in the last couple of weeks. And that was the difference in this game. He put the ball in the hands of his playmakers, and they were allowed to make plays.
Yeah, and they made him. I mean, I thought Devontae flew under the radar yesterday because it became about AJ and that story the whole week, and then they threw to him and he scored the touchdown. Devontae was great yesterday.
Yeah, he was.
And he made a few catches where one time they got him before the first down, but I think it was the last drive. He made a catch maybe 6, 7, 8 yards before the first down marker, and he ran through two Steelers defenders.
I mean, he was on fire.
I love the way he played yesterday. 215-592-9494 for our Twitter question, sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet. You learn about and schedule your evaluation, PIDentalCenter.com. Who deserves the most credit for the Eagles' win yesterday, the Eagles or WIP? The voting for this one's bizarre to me. 88% Eagles, only 12% WIP.
What is WIP?
And then, is this what y'all wanted to see? 91% yes on that one. My favorite polls we've done in a while. Big V and Matt Laurel's up. Hey, Big V.
Yo, Hugh.
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Hey, Hugh, listen, before Kyle and Joe Giglio cut me off and say, thanks for calling, Big V, I want to say this, Hugh. Every time we win and these guys are talking all that negative stuff about the Eagles, you notice they attack you about the defense statement?
Mm-hmm. Every day, every week.
And I know. I mean, that's just them deflecting for the simple fact that they were wrong!
Wrong about what, Big V?
I like the way Big V think, man.
I told you we were going to show the world. And Kyle, kick the music, baby.
Kick the music, Kyle.
Big V, I never say. Hold on. I never said you were wrong that they were going to play well. You said last week, Big V, that he was trending in the right direction. No, he wasn't. He played great yesterday. The week before, he didn't. Like, that's the part that didn't make any sense last week.
Well, you're saying that he didn't. His stats said that he did.
Not this again. Can we just focus on yesterday? He was great yesterday.
You went the last week, and now you want to shut it down? Come on. See, once again, if you can't dazzle with your brilliance, baffle him with your BS. Go ahead, Joe. But anyway, as I was saying.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
Joe, I told you we were going to show the world, and we did. I told you we got the best team in football, and they showed you that. I told you when y'all talking about, oh, God, yes.
This is a joke, quite frankly.
We were going to win. I told you that.
I thought and they'd win too, Big V.
Big V,
it was
a must-win.
You told
us that every week.
Big V, you make things up. I mean, like, what do you want me to tell
you?
You
said you make things up.
That's strong. Okay, and listen, if I can predict that and it shows up, then look, Joe,
what do you
go
mean?
Play the lottery because you'll never do radio again. You're a multimillionaire.
Predict what? Big V, they were a 5.5-point favorite. Most people thought they'd win the game. You make it sound like you predicted the biggest upset in NFL history.
History.
The way you were talking, it was like the biggest defeat we were ever going to get.
I thought they'd win the game.
Yeah. Look at him backpedaling you.
What backpedal? I picked them to win.
Yes. You blamed it all on Jalen, and you talked all that crap about AJ. They showed the world that there is no beef because they did it on national television.
They grilled
that beef and ate it together.
Do you think people stand up in front of the team and shake hands and hug if there was no problem? Like, they do that every week? Or there was obviously an issue, Big V?
Listen, there was no issue.
There was! Okay. They had a team meeting about it.
Oh, Twitter question.
There was an issue.
Oh, by the way, here's a Twitter question. Who was really responsible for the Eagles? I credit two people, Jeffrey and Howie.
Well, we agree on that. I mean, that might be the smartest thing you've said on this show in months. They're obviously in charge of this thing. Yes, they built the best team in football.
Yes, they did. And the best team is now performing like the best team. They're acting like one team with one goal to win this championship. And we haven't had a running game this good since Wilbur Montgomery. Come on. That's a great roster. It's a great team. We are well-balanced with more offensive weapons than these defensive coordinators know how to deal with.
I agree.
Right now.
And when the quarterback plays like that, they could win the Super Bowl.
When a quarterback plays like that, you know how difficult it is to hand the ball to Barkley? Cut it out, man. It ain't rocket science. He got right up there and said, that's all y'all wanted?
I don't understand what you just said. He played better yesterday, right?
He plays better every day.
No, Bigby, hold on. You don't think he played better yesterday than the week before?
Yes, and he played better the week before than he did the week before that.
No, he didn't.
He's progressively getting better. Working on it.
Constantly.
Big V, are you serious?
Oh, okay. That's right. What did you call me last week? Naive?
Well, I just don't understand. Like, how could you watch the same game we all did and say it's progressively gotten better? No, it didn't. It got worse for a few weeks, and then it went way up yesterday.
Look at his stats. His stats are always progressing.
With the stats.
His numbers are constantly progressing.
Gosh.
Why don't you just
literally
admit
they weren't.
You are absolutely hard on him, and your head is so far up Kansas City quarterbacks behind that you can't see the greatness we got in Jalen.
Great, you can't see it, dog.
If you think the way he played yesterday is similar to last week or that they're right next to each other, you're not watching the same game as the rest of us. There is a reason today, and I think we all know it, that everyone in this city is more excited than they've been the entire year. What is the reason? Jalen. He played great yesterday.
He played like you wanted him to play.
Yes.
He played like you wanted to see him play.
It changes the whole thought on the team this year. We've known for months, and we've all admitted it, except maybe Hugh, that the defense is special. Okay? We've all seen this. We know they're well coached with the staff more than they were last year. We know the NFC, it's a path for them, especially now as Detroit's players are dropping like flies.
Pew, pew.
The last piece of the puzzle is Hurts. It's the last piece. And yesterday, it fit. The whole puzzle came together. Like, we can't pretend that last week was for no reason. It was for a reason. AJ felt it. Brandon felt it. Everyone that watches film felt it. He needed to play better. And he did. So enough with the I told you so's and just be happy. Like, the I told you so is for us to hew with the defense. That's the I told you so around here.
Yeah, that's
and your
right.
beard.
Yeah, that beard, the beard thing is.
It's over, yeah.
I still got a chance. This weekend, I got a shot. If I'm somewhere in the range of, 21, 24 points?
Sound like you're rooting for it.
I'm just saying.
If you were burgundy to the pregame show, we're asking you to leave.
Wait a minute, dang.
We're going to catch Hugh palling around with the guys on Washington Radio.
He's going to be on, B. Mitch is going to invite him on or something, yeah.
Dang.
Cut that audio.
Nah.
What's the matter?
Nah, just ordered this ugly Christmas sweater, right?
Does it have burgundy in it?
Man. But let me just say.
That was subliminal messaging right there.
First of all, we're doing this ugly Christmas thing
at
Stateside.
We're going to wear ugly Christmas sweaters on Sunday.
And here's the thing. I just found out that it's a themed show.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to find. Because it's hard. Like, Joe, if you don't find a sweater, it's going to be kind of hard to find a sweater.
I agree. So just get an ugly Christmas sweater.
Yeah, but you got to get it in the timing that it takes to get it to us on time. Because, it's getting cold.
Did you order a burgundy one?
I did. But look at the sweater. Look, I think you're going to like this one, though. That's the one I ordered. So, I don't know. I might get a pass for that one.
Oh, boy, that's a good sweater.
See, that's what I'm saying.
But it's burgundy.
But it is burgundy. I didn't know. I'm going to see if I can change it real quick.
I think deep down you knew. 215-592-9494. We're reacting to the win on the phones. If you want to do the I told you so's, you can if you want.
It's not really burgundy, though. It's maroon.
Mm. It's Commanders coach. We'll get to some of what A.J. Brown said after the game about his performance and what the team did this week to address all the controversy. 215-592-9494. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
There you go. That's what we're doing. We're weaving dreams. Trying to get through.
What dream did we weave this time?
No, it was like, well, I think Brandon did. He was being crazy like a fox.
Oh, he was. He did it on purpose.
He did. And that's why he had
buyer's remorse. He got his message out.
Right after he did.
Well, again, I've been trying to tell you this for a week. Sometimes you can yell and scream, and then you say, "Was I too loud there? Or did I go too far?" But the message is still the message.
No, it's that, and the fact that my dog really, right after he did it, backed off of that take as super. He didn't say he was lying. He didn't say that, but See? He did back off that take though.
He saved the season. I mean, that's what I saw yesterday.
If Brandon trying to get to Louisiana, just like the rest.
Nick Sirianni saved the season. Give the man his credit.
Well, I did ask him last week to make sure it doesn't unravel, and he did it. I mean, he did a good job yesterday.
You know what's funny, though, if we want to be, and I know we're not being nitpicky, but
nitpicky
I'm just...
Nitpicky on a victory
I'm
Monday?
Saying, we went from one controversy to another.
Oh, you mean Big Dom?
Yeah, you better quit. I would suggest that Coach quit rolling up on Jalen Carter.
Clint Hurt. According to Derek Gunn, Big Dom was involved in that as well and told Sirianni to back off Big Dom.
So
I mean, back off Jalen Carter.
Oh, D-Gunn, he up there starting trouble? Out there putting that mess out there on
the
internet.
He's reporting what he's hearing.
Everybody go jump on no, D-Gunn now. Go
D-Gunn
jump on
alone.
Him for reporting that
is
mess.
A lot of Big Dom scoops this year.
You want more Big Dom scoops?
No, I mean, D-Gunn is, because didn't he report the Big Dom thing last season?
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of Big Dom scoops.
Don't nobody say about D-Gunn being messy? So, he on there being messy all on the internet.
Yeah, he's reporting facts.
He's
so,
a mess maker.
When LeBron was at his height of popularity and like he was the story of the league, there were reporters that were assigned just to cover LeBron. Are you saying that we have that here now? Big Dom reporters, Kyle, just in Philadelphia, just following every
specific
step.
Big Dom. Yeah.
Big Dom. So
Big
here
Dom
is the
site.
Tweet from Derek Gunn, and he has the video there of the whole situation with.
Oh, you got video.
Clint
oh,
Hurd
nah,
and Big Dom.
Super mess.
Yeah, and he said, "You see, defensive line coach Clint Hurd intervening between Sirianni and Carter. I'm told Big Dom stepped in and told Sirianni to stay away from Carter at that particular moment. Carter and Sirianni later hugged it out. But a big part of Big Dom's primary job is to keep the peace on the sidelines." So there you go with that. 215-592-9494. All right, your take on all this. Eagles have won 10 straight. Jalen was incredible yesterday and really answered the bell. It was his best game of the season. If Jalen Hurts plays like that, the Eagles are going to raise the Lombardi Trophy. That's it. They're the most complete team. And the one missing piece was the passing game yesterday. It was awesome. All right, we'll get to what AJ said in a few minutes here. And, you know, does WIP deserve credit for all this? I think so. Gary in Wilmington. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hey, listen, years ago I had the privilege of going to Australia to get a multi-million dollar contract for a company I was working for. And I had a billionaire tell me something I never forgot. He said, the only thing worse than a man that don't know is a man that don't know he don't know. And I say that because when the Eagles played Tampa Bay, I was out in Vegas at the Wingate with my favorite Eagle, Eric Allen. Sorry, Hugh.
And, that does not bother me. I mean, I hear you, but I'm not offended.
And we were watching a game, and there were several other players there. And I noticed that everything that I got upset about when it came to Hurts, or not everything, but most of the things, they were looking at the game through completely different eyes. They saw what I didn't see. They saw Saquon miss a block. So after the Carolina game, I got on a post-game show on WIP. I got on a post-game show on the TV. And Jason Avant said, the problem with the passing, and this is before AJ said anything, was they need to get rid of the RPO. They don't run routes downfield. They got a generic offense. It's a basic offense. Go back and listen to it. It's on your own station. So when you picked up that Hurts said, you were exactly right. Then Mike Quick comes on the radio on this station and says, it was all, you know, it's nothing. It's all radio gossip. There's no problem in the locker room. You got no choice but to trust people like that. I listen to the guys who have done it, who know it, who lived it. I can honestly say I learned a lot that I didn't know. So the guys like Jason Avant, Hugh, John Ritchie, Seth Joyner, all you guys that come on here, you probably forgot more than I ever knew about football. And I was watching the Eagles when they got Mike Quick. That's how long I've been watching it. I'm a fan. And to pretend that I'm anything else but a fan is a joke. It's just a joke. I can't argue with people that do it. That's like a plumber arguing with a doctor on how to fix a knee. It just don't work.
So, Gary, I agree and I disagree. I mean, yeah, I understand your point. Like, there are certain people who have a higher degree of knowledge of what they're seeing, especially when, like, you're breaking down film, like, they get it. But we're all just fans, Gary. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all just fans. Like, maybe the coaches have a different perspective, like the current coaches.
Yes. Mm.
But the rest of us are all just fans watching the same game, so we could have a different perspective on the same thing. It's okay.
But as fans, we can't assume facts that are not in evidence.
No, no, but Gary, hold on. What we can do is assess what we have compared to the rest of the league. So when last week, whatever the reason, when last week the passing game could barely muster 100 yards, that's below standard. Whatever the reason for it, that was below standard, and it caused a week of consternation. Now, yesterday was above standard, and that's why we're excited.
I just got to say this, and then I'll go. I don't know if you listened to that, but did you listen to John Ritchie and Seth Joyner this morning with the hammer, actually taking them to school? Those are the things I listen to. I listen to Hugh. When Hugh was a different animal. When he disagrees with something, you hear him laughing on the mic in the background. He's laughing, and then they'll step in and they'll say, "I don't want to make anybody mad." That's the way he disagrees. Other guys are more adamant, like,
right,
hey.
Yeah. Everyone's different. Yeah, and look, the perspective of our former football players here is a big part of our station, of course, and they have perspective. Gary, I didn't get to hear a lot of what was said this morning. We were doing our meeting. Gary, good phone call. I didn't hear it, but I think they were disagreeing about Jalen Hurts as my guest this morning?
A little bit.
Yeah,
I look at it like this. We don't all see eye to eye all the time, but I do respect, and I think all of my former teammates respect everyone's opinion. We just see it differently. That's not to say it's right or it's wrong, and my word isn't the gospel, nor do I try to act like it is, because we all see it different. Yep. Me and Rhea watches every game, and she charts every play. Rhea doesn't watch the game the same way that I do. That's not to say that Rhea's wrong or I'm right. That's just how you see it.
Well, of course, we all see it differently. We all pick up different. The other thing I think that came out of last week, and I don't know when this started. I don't know what it just. Everyone's very sensitive about Jalen Hurts. When you say something like he's not doing something, people mm-hmm. hear it as you don't think he can. And well, I never said last week he can. I'm saying so far this year, before yesterday, Hugh, the passing game had been blah, right? Middle of the pack, not great. Yesterday, it looked great.
Yeah, and part of the reason why it's like that with Jalen is because there are certain trigger words that, you know, you grow up listening to when it comes to that position. And plus, being an African-American quarterback, that kind of puts people on edge. You know, and you hear it all the time. Like last week, there was a lot of pundits on television. They say it without saying it because it's always that black and white thing when it comes to that position. And I think a lot of times that some of the conversation that's being had, not the conversation that we have, because I do believe it's just strictly about football and what we see him doing as a quarterback. There's a lot of times that people will call in and they'll disguise what they're actually trying to say by using certain key words. And I think that's where we get a little sensitive when it comes to him and the way that he's playing.
I also think there's some sensitivity here to that the fact that the Eagles have never had an all-time great quarterback. So every time another really good young one comes around, there's like the hope this is going to be the best one, right? This is going to be, and a lot of times they show amazing flashes. Carson Wentz showed amazing flashes and then it puttered out. Jalen had 2022. So I think there's that thing deep down, like it can't be happening again, right? He can't putter out
PTSD.
Again.
PTSD.
Yeah, right. I think that's a big part of it. All I know is this. Everyone's excited today because Jalen played like that. Like, what was different yesterday? Not the defense. We've seen this for 10 weeks. It was him.
It was him because he's the one that makes it go. It begins and ends with Jalen. And yesterday, the one thing that I don't think anybody can argue with by the way Jalen playing is he made quick decisions. He was decisive.
Accurate.
That's the word that you always hear, whether or not he's playing well or not. Decisive or indecisive. It looks like, and when people talk about it, it looks like he's holding the ball too long. It looks like he doesn't know where he wants to go. Those are all fair criticisms because yesterday was a game where you saw none of that come into play. Maybe a couple of times, but definitely not as much as it's been like that in the past.
Yeah, I guess they had a little stretch end of the first half where they kind of got bogged down on offense and the Steelers were able to get back in the game a little bit. He got sacked a few times. But besides that, the first quarter was as good of a quarter as he's played in the first quarter of the
can't
entire
complain.
Season.
Yeah, definitely can't complain.
No, he was great. And then he finished the game great as well. Anthony at Southwest Philly, and then we'll hear from A.J. Brown after the game. What's up, Anthony?
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, Anthony, what's up?
Hey, so listen, I want to get two quick points in because I'm on my way to a meeting, but I want to get these in real quick because I, for me, I think they're important as a caller, right? First of all, Hugh, I damn near, man, passed the hell out when you said that Nick almost got Sprewell, man, because you are absolutely
no. Right. Listen, Anthony, we all saw it. We all saw it, yeah. and you know, we all have that one friend that does not give a damn about any situation that is. If you rub them the wrong way, you rub them the wrong way, they're going to do something that's going to set us all back about 15 years. So you just let them go.
But this is the thing, Hugh, right? Like, I tell you guys all the time when I call in, I'm still a coach right now today on the other side, right, basketball. But I grew up all my life playing in locker rooms, played overseas, did a lot of things in my life with the game of basketball, right? And I'm one of those guys, I've been around guys like that, right? Like Jalen Carter, right? With Jalen Carter, that's not Nick Sirianni's job to do what he tried to do. I got one more point, but I want to make this one real quick. You need a guy from a, like, with Jalen Carter, he got some growing up to do. But with a guy like him, man, you need a guy from the neighborhood. You need a guy that, like Clint Carter. You can't, and I think Clint helped Sirianni at that point because I think in a nutshell what he was telling him was, listen, in the moment right now, I don't want for you what could come on national TV. I dealt with it. Let's get behind the locker room and you can have a conversation.
Yeah, but you can't talk to everybody like that in public. You can't do it.
Right, like he liable to turn you up in your pocket. You know, so just let it go right now. I dealt with it. We'll get back here in the locker room. And that's what Clint Carter is there for. He's that guy. So, this point.
Yeah.
This is this. Joe, I think what people get frustrated with when you talk about Jalen Hurts is this, right? And I'm going to be very direct when I say this.
Okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of white America, right? What white America mostly for the most part is used to seeing is Tom Brady. They're used to seeing Peyton Manning. They're used to seeing Joe Montana. Like these guys that just play pitch and catch all game, right? And what Jalen is a very different kind of player. He's not a guy that has to do what they have to do to win games. So when I hear you talk about Jalen, I would feel better if you say he played a more complete game yesterday. Because to me, I think his best game of the season was against Baltimore. I don't think yesterday was his best game of the season because if you look at the spin cycle that he put Roquan Smith in during that game, the first and second level reads and the read options that he was going to, they could not do anything. And these are all pro guys. And what Jalen did was he read those guys like a book and he took away the strength of their defense in that game in ways that not a lot of quarterbacks can do. So I get what you're saying, but I think when you talk about Jalen, you have to say he played a more complete game because, yes, the passing game has been missing, but the passing game, at the end of the day, if we're winning, that's all he cares about. He knows he can pass the ball, but he's not been asked to do that. And therefore, the last point on this, four games into the season, I watched A.J. Brown on one play. You can go back and watch this on YouTube. This guy, Brian, breaks it down. Jalen threw a ball to A.J. in the right corner of the end zone, and because A.J. didn't think he was getting the ball, he stopped on the route, slowed down, and when the ball got in the air, he tried to pick back up speed, and therefore, you know, he didn't get the ball. You get Devontae Smith in one of the games, I think it was against New Orleans or somebody, where Jalen throws the ball in the end zone, Devontae does a cut across.
Yeah, it was New Orleans. There were a couple of those early that turned into interceptions, and maybe, you know, things change. And Anthony, we appreciate the phone call, and a lot of good points, and I think perspective is interesting as a coach. But yeah, for some reason, I don't know why people think I don't like Jalen. Like, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan.
I don't think you don't like him.
I think
I think you're a fan, and I go a step further. You don't use trigger words that other people tend to use. So it's you're looking at it from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, and I think of it a couple of ways. One, and I understand what our last caller was saying. I almost separate the run element of Jalen and the pass element of Jalen. I know the run element's there every week. He's a force in the run game. And he makes plays and first downs and third downs become first downs. And, you know, obviously the tush-push stuff. I expect that every week. That's part of his game, like Steve McNair's game and Cam Newton's game. He has that. What I always look at is, can they keep doing this and win the championship?
Is it sustainable?
Right, the passing game. And I don't think games like the Ravens game, even though he did good things and he didn't turn the ball over, that to me, the way the passing game worked today is not sustainable to win a championship. Same thing with the Panthers game. Yesterday, the way they threw to get a lead and were up, that's what I want to see. And I thought he did more of that 2 years ago when I thought, you know, he was the best player in the NFL until he got hurt that year. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from A.J. Brown after the game. He was the start of a week of a lot of stuff around here and nationally. Let's hear what he had to say after the game about those hard conversations that they talked about in that locker room.
It's easy for us to have these tough conversations to call each other out because we know what we want. What we want at the end. And it makes it easier when we're close. So
is there anything that, you know, being on the same page this week, is there anything to prepare for that? Take the next couple of games to work?
Yeah, I think like I said earlier, the long repetitive meetings. On top of the meetings we already have, I think it's we may keep doing that.
So, how long is
that? No, it was just a point of emphasis this week, and I think we're gonna move forward. They were pretty long. They were just added throughout our long day already. You know, I'm not complaining about that anyway. But when you talk about something 10 times, you're like, okay, we got it. But it's needed though. It's needed, and who cares how long we stay in there, because we come out and we put it on performance like today. So.
The funniest part of this, as I listen to them talk about these meetings they went through and how they talked, whether it was on purpose or if Brandon Graham was high or whatever, it worked. Like, this week helped them.
It was a come to Jesus moment.
It galvanized
man.
Them.
And you know what's funny? Because I'm not trying to say I told you so, but remember last year when I said they need to just get in the room and they need to air it out. It feels like that's what happened, because whether he did it on purpose or not, BG put them in an awkward situation where they were forced to deal with it. AJ started it, but then Brandon made it so that, hey, man, we got to figure this out. Because this has the potential, especially now, to be a super special season, man. It really, really does. And these players feel it. And that's why, you had to address it, because there's a potential to have people in silos, Team Jalen and Team AJ. And if it would have went bad, then everybody was like, well, yeah, AJ was right. If we'd have did this, that, and that, we could have did whatever. So now that it's out there and they're playing better, then just keep it going. And you have three teams that, if you play this right and everybody's in a good space, you could really go into the playoffs with a lot of momentum.
Well, momentum.
Like scary momentum.
They haven't lost since September.
Yeah.
And if they win out here.
True story.
That is 13 straight wins heading into the playoffs. That might be good enough for the bye. I mean, there is a chance, and it becomes more real every single week, that the Eagles don't lose a game again this season. Like that they lost the game in Tampa, they went into the bye, Sirianni shaved his head, and that's it. They win every single game from October whatever through February whatever and win the Super Bowl. Like, that's becoming realer by the second. Let's hear the next one from A.J. Brown here, telling us to all pipe down.
And after the touchdown, I know you guys have done it before, but was that kind of a good way to show people, like, all right,
we're
good?
For sure. That was our moment to tell everybody, shut up, honestly, I'm telling you.
So, look, we're all having fun with this. I think it's so ironic he's telling everyone to shut up. He started the conversation.
Well, it's, how it is. It's they're going to take it. The media's going to take it and run with it. It's us against the world, which I am okay with all of that. But in the real world, because in football, it's Fantasy Island. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. It's Fantasy Island. And people don't operate the same as they do in the world that we live in. So if that's what it takes for them to galvanize this season against to Louisiana, then so be it.
Is this a chess, not checkers moment? It almost feels like they created their own controversy,
yes.
Brought it to us. We talked about it, and they're like, "Now you guys shut up." Well, wait a second.
No, yes,
it was your thing.
Yeah, yes, that's exactly what it is. Because there's no way on God's green earth that you can say anything rationally to anybody in that locker room, and they will understand where we're coming from. Because to them, we made much to do about nothing.
Even though they told us about
yes.
it. That's
yes.
That's the part that makes me laugh.
Like, yeah, it is.
You guys overreacted to what? Well, the story we told you.
You made me remember something that Coach Brazier told me years ago. He said, when you retire from this game, you're gonna have trouble adjusting. And he's like, what do you mean? He said, because people don't think like football players think. And for a while, I never understood what he meant until I started trying to. Now I'm on the other side, but when I played, trying to explain stuff to people that didn't play. But now that I'm back with the gen pop, you know, now it's my job to
explain. In the real world.
Yeah, I'm back at gen pop. Now it's my job to explain to everybody else how they think, how the inmates think, the asylum, the sane asylum, whatever you want to call it.
I think it's half funny and half ridiculous, but I get it. You're saying like
no, yeah, because it's a different world, though. Because you could sit there, and you could talk to somebody, and they'll look at me because now I'm the bad guy. I'm in the media. I used to be one of them. Now you got to look at me sideways because you don't know how. But I'm like, dog, do you know if you wouldn't have said a word,
we wouldn't have talked about
it. We would have figured out our storylines, and we would have went on about our week. You made our job. This is the reality. You made our job easy for us by running your mouth.
So here's the thing. We're going to react to the game no matter what.
Regardless.
But then we will talk also what they say. So let me take you through last week. If AJ doesn't talk after the game or says very generic things, right, like says nothing like he said, and BG doesn't do his show, you know what we're talking about all week? Jalen, right?
Yeah, how he needs to play better.
It's about Jalen's play. But then it became about the locker room, teammates, Sirianni, the
and that would be that would be backed up with stats. That would be backed up with the fact that over the last couple of weeks he didn't play well.
Yeah.
But if you throw us a bone or a carrot or whatever, we're going to eat. Just like, how about this perfect example? Just like if Coach Hurt didn't get between Coach Sirianni and Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter dragged Coach Sirianni all around. Not saying that that's going to happen, but if Jalen Carter would have gripped Sirianni up in his collar, you think we're going to ignore that? And this is the thing. Do you think anybody nationally would ignore that?
Story in sports.
The fact that people on TV are talking, we ain't really talking about it like that. They talking about it nationally, though, because they saw it. Everybody got that. You ever seen Devil in a Blue Dress?
No.
Remember, I think it was Devil in a Blue Dress. It was Denzel Washington and Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle was the cousin, Mouse. And it was an episode, it was a part in the movie where Don Cheadle, Denzel Washington asked him to watch somebody. So when he came back, he was dead. And Denzel asked him, like, why'd you kill him? He said, if you didn't want him dead, why'd you leave him with me?
Your fault.
That's your fault. So that's basically, that's who Jalen Carter is. Jalen Carter's Mouse in the situation.
215-592-9494. Final hours to get your call in here on the Midday Show. Now winners of 10 straight games. Are the Eagles the best team in football? We'll look around the NFL at the one seed, the Eagles' outlook, and all the injuries that are now piling up in a remarkable way in Detroit. It's a lot, and it could push the Eagles to being the number one overall seed. 215-592-9494. We'll react with you on the phone line. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, it's the holiday season. It's time to warm up to the comfort foods that you love. They're made even better with Hatfield pork. Yeah, everybody, I'm talking about bacon. And nothing brings holiday cheer quite like the bacon that I also love. From breakfast to appetizers to holiday dinners, bacon adds a perfect touch to the flavor that your family will love. Man, I can talk about bacon all day. So this is what you need to do. You need to visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retail location near you. Give the gift of flavor this holiday season with Hatfield. He's like a fox.
Oh, he was. He did it on purpose.
He did it on. Yeah, he did.
He did.
And that's why he had buyer's remorse out. Right after he did.
Well, again, I've been trying to tell you this for a week. Sometimes you can yell and scream, and then you say, "Was I too loud there? Or did I go too far?" But the message is still the message.
No, it's that, and the fact that my dog really, right after he did it, backed off of that take as super. He didn't say he was lying. He didn't say that, but he did back off that take, though.
He saved the season. I mean, that's what I saw yesterday.
If Brandon trying to get to Louisiana, just like the rest.
Nick Sirianni saved the season. Give the man his credit.
Well, I did ask him last week to make sure it doesn't unravel, and he did it. I mean, he did a good job yesterday.
You know what's funny, though, if we want to be, and I know we're not being nitpicky, but
nitpicky
I'm just...
Nitpicky on a victory
I'm
Monday?
We went from one controversy to another.
Oh, you mean Big Dom?
Yeah, you better quit. I would suggest that Coach quit rolling up on Jalen Carter.
Clint Hurt. According to Derek Gunn, Big Dom was involved in that as well and told Sirianni to back off Big Dom.
So
I mean, back off Jalen Carter.
Oh, D-Gunn, he up there starting trouble? Out there putting that mess out there on
he's
the internet.
He's reporting what he's hearing.
Everybody go jump on no. D-Gunn now. Go
D-Gunn
jump on
alone.
Him for reporting that
a
mess.
A lot of Big Dom scoops this year.
You want more Big Dom scoops?
No, I mean, D-Gunn is, because didn't he report the Big Dom thing last season?
Yeah.
A lot of Big Dom scoops.
Don't nobody say about D-Gunn being messy? So, he on there being messy all on the internet.
Yeah, he's reporting facts.
He's
so,
a mess maker.
When LeBron was at his height of popularity and he was the story of the league, there were reporters that were assigned just to cover LeBron. Are you saying that we have that here now? Big Dom reporters, Kyle, just in Philadelphia, just following every
specific
step.
Big Dom. Yeah.
Big Dom. So here is the tweet from Derek Gunn, and he has the video there of the whole situation with.
You got video.
Clint Hurt and Big Dom.
Super mess.
Yeah, and he said, "You see, defensive line coach Clint Hurt intervening between Sirianni and Carter. I'm told Big Dom stepped in and told Sirianni to stay away from Carter at that particular moment. Carter and Sirianni later hugged it out. But a big part of Big Dom's primary job is to keep the peace on the sidelines." So there you go with that. 215-592-9494. All right, your take on all this. Eagles have won 10 straight. Jalen was incredible yesterday and really answered the bell. It was his best game of the season. If Jalen Hurts plays like that, the Eagles are going to raise the Lombardi Trophy. That's it. They're the most complete team. And the one missing piece was the passing game yesterday. It was awesome. All right, we'll get to what AJ said in a few minutes here. And, does WIP deserve credit for all this? I think so. Gary in Wilmington. What's up, Gary?
Hey, what's up, fellas?
Hey, Gary, what's up?
Hey, listen, years ago I had the privilege of going to Australia to get a multi-million dollar contract for a company I was working for. And I had a billionaire tell me something I never forgot. He said, "The only thing worse than a man that don't know is a man that don't know he don't know." And I say that because when the Eagles played Tampa Bay, I was out in Vegas at the Wingate with my favorite Eagle, Eric Allen. Sorry, Hugh.
That does not bother me. I mean, I hear you, but I'm not offended.
And we were watching a game, and there were several other players there. And I noticed that everything that I got upset about when it came to Hurts, or not everything, but most of the things, they were looking at the game through completely different eyes. They saw what I didn't see. They saw Saquon miss a block. So after the Carolina game, I got on a post-game show on WIP. I got on a post-game show on the TV. And Jason Avant said, the problem with the passing, and this is before AJ said anything, was they need to get rid of the RPO. They don't run routes downfield. They got a generic offense. It's a basic offense. Go back and listen to it. It's on your own station. So when you pick up that Hurts said, you were exactly right. Then Mike Quick comes on the radio on this station and says, it was all, you know, it's nothing. It's all radio gossip. There's no problem in the locker room. You got no choice but to trust people like that. I listen to the guys who have done it, who know it, who lived it. I can honestly say I learned a lot that I didn't know. So the guys like Jason Avant, Hugh, John Ritchie, Seth Joyner, all you guys that come on here, you probably forgot more than I ever knew about football. And I was watching the Eagles when they got Mike Quick. That's how long I've been watching it. I'm a fan. And to pretend that I'm anything else but a fan is a joke. It's just a joke. I can't argue with people that do it. That's like a plumber arguing with a doctor on how to fix a knee. It just don't work.
So, Gary, I agree and I disagree. I mean, yeah, I understand your point. Like, there are certain people who have a higher degree of knowledge of what they're seeing, especially when, like, you're breaking down film, like, they get it. But we're all just fans, Gary. I mean, at the end of the day, we're all just fans. Like, maybe the coaches have a different perspective, like the current coaches. Yeah. Mm. But the rest of us are all just fans watching the same game, so we could have a different perspective on the same thing. It's okay.
But as fans, we can't assume facts that are not in evidence.
No, but Gary, hold on. What we can do is assess what we have compared to the rest of the league. So when last week, whatever the reason, when last week the passing game could barely muster 100 yards, that's below standard. Whatever the reason for it, that was below standard, and it caused a week of consternation. Now, yesterday was above standard, and that's why we're excited.
I just got to say this, and then I'll go. I don't know if you listened to that, but did you listen to John Ritchie and Seth Joyner this morning with the hammer, actually taking them to school? Those are the things I listen to. I listen to Hugh. When Hugh is a different animal. When he disagrees with something, you hear him laughing on the mic in the background. He's laughing, and then he'll step in and he'll say, "I don't want to make anybody mad." No, that's the way he disagrees. Other guys are more adamant, like,
right,
hey.
Yeah. Everyone's different. Yeah, and look, the perspective of our former football players here is it's a big part of our station, of course, and they have perspective. Gary, I didn't get to hear a lot of what was said this morning. We were doing our meeting. Gary, good phone call. I didn't hear it, but I think they were, what, were they disagreeing about Jalen Hurts as my guest this morning?
A little bit.
Yeah,
with Seth and I look at it like this. We don't all see eye to eye all the time, but I do respect, and I think all of my former teammates respect everyone's opinion. We just see it differently. That's not to say it's right or it's wrong. And my word isn't the gospel, nor do I try to act like it is. Because we all see it different. Yep. Me and Rhea watches every game and she charts every play. Rhea doesn't watch the game the same way that I do. That's not to say that Rhea's wrong or I'm right. That's just how you see it.
Well, of course, we all see it differently. We all pick up different. The other thing I think that came out of last week, and I don't know when this started. I don't know what it just. Everyone's very sensitive about Jalen Hurts. When you say something like he's not doing something, people hear it as you don't think he can. And well, I never said last week he can. I'm saying so far this year, before yesterday, Hugh, the passing game had been blah, right, middle of the pack, not great. Yesterday, it looked great.
Yeah, and part of the reason why it's like that with Jalen is because there are certain trigger words that, you know, you grow up listening to when it comes to that position. And plus being an African-American quarterback, that kind of puts people on edge. You know, and you hear it all the time. Like last week, there was a lot of pundits on television. They say it without saying it because it's always that black and white thing when it comes to that position. And I think a lot of times that some of the conversation that's being had, not the conversation that we have, because I do believe it's just strictly about football and what we see him doing as a quarterback. There's a lot of times that people will call in and they'll disguise what they're actually trying to say by using certain key words. And I think that's where we get a little sensitive when it comes to him and the way that he's playing.
I also think there's some sensitivity here to that the fact that the Eagles have never had an all-time great quarterback. So every time another really good young one comes around, there's like the hope this is going to be the best one, right? This is going to be, and a lot of times they show amazing flashes. Carson Wentz showed amazing flashes and then it puttered out. Jalen had 2022. So I think there's that thing deep down, like it can't be happening again, right? He can't putter out
PTSD.
Again.
PTSD.
Yeah, right. I think that's a big part of it. All I know is this. Everyone's excited today because Jalen played like that. Like, what was different yesterday? Not the defense. We've seen this for 10 weeks. It was him.
It was him because he's the one that makes it go. It begins and ends with Jalen. And yesterday, the one thing that I don't think anybody could argue with by the way Jalen playing is he made quick decisions. He was decisive.
Accurate.
That's the word that you always hear, whether or not he's playing well or not. Decisive or indecisive. It looks like, and when people talk about it, it looks like he's holding the ball too long. It looks like he doesn't know where he wants to go. Those are all fair criticisms because yesterday was a game where you saw none of that come into play. Maybe a couple of times, but definitely not as much as it's been like that in the past.
Yeah, I guess they had a little stretch end of the first half where they kind of got bogged down on offense and the Steelers were able to get back in the game a little bit. He got sacked a few times. But besides that, the first quarter was as good of a quarter as he's played in the first quarter of the
season. Definitely can't complain.
No, he was great. And then he finished the game great as well. Anthony at Southwest Philly, and then we'll hear from A.J. Brown after the game. What's up, Anthony?
Fellas, what's going on?
Hey, Anthony, what's up?
Hey, so listen, I want to get two quick points in because I'm on my way to a meeting, but –
I want to get these in real quick because for me, I think they're important as a caller, right? First of all, here, my damn near man passed the hell out when you said that Mick almost got Sprewell, man, because you are absolutely
no. Right. Listen, Anthony, we all saw it. We all saw it, yeah. and you know, we all have that one friend that does not give a damn about any situation that is. If you rub them the wrong way, you rub them the wrong way. They gonna do something that's gonna set us all back about 15 years. So you just let them go.
But this is the thing, Hugh. Right? Like I tell you guys all the time when I call in, I'm still a coach right now today on the other side, right? Basketball. But I grew up all my life playing in locker rooms, played overseas, did a lot of things in my life with the game of basketball, right? And I'm one of those guys. I've been around guys like that, right? Like Jalen Carter, right? With Jalen Carter. That's not Nick Sirianni's job to do what he tried to do. I got one more point, but I want to make this one real quick. You need a guy from with Jalen Carter, he got some growing up to do. But with a guy like him, man, you need a guy from the neighborhood. You need a guy that, like Clint Carter. You can't – and I think Clint helped Sirianni's point because I think in a nutshell what he was telling him was, listen, in the moment right now, I don't want for you what could come on national TV. I dealt with it. Let's get behind the locker room and you can have a conversation.
Yeah, but you can't talk to everybody like that in public. You can't do it.
Right, like he liable to turn you up in your pocket. You know, so just let it go right now. I dealt with it. We'll get back here in the locker room. And that's what Clint Carter is there for. He's that guy. So, this point.
Yeah.
This is this. Joe, I think what people get frustrated with when you talk about Jalen Hurts is this, right? And I'm going to be very direct when I say this,
okay.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Most of white America, right? What white America mostly for the most part is used to seeing is Tom Brady. They're used to seeing Peyton Manning. They're used to seeing Joe Montana. Like these guys that just play pitch and catch all game, right? And what Jalen is a very different kind of player. He's not a guy that has to do what they have to do to win games. So when I hear you talk about Jalen, I would feel better if you say he played a more complete game yesterday. Because to me, I think his best game of the season was against Baltimore. I don't think yesterday was his best game of the season because if you look at the spin cycle that he put Roquan Smith in during that game, the first and second level reads and the read options that he was going to, they could not do anything. And these are all pro guys. And what Jalen did was he read those guys like a book and he took away the strength of their defense in that game in ways that not a lot of quarterbacks can do. So I get what you're saying, but I think when you talk about Jalen, you have to say he played a more complete game because, yes, the passing game has been missing, but the passing game, at the end of the day, if we're winning – that's all he cares about. He knows he can pass the ball, but he's not been asked to do that. And therefore, the last point on this, four games into the season, I watched A.J. Brown on one play. You can go back and watch this on YouTube. This guy, Brian, breaks it down. Daylon threw a ball to A.J. in the right corner of the end zone, and because A.J. didn't think he was getting the ball, he stopped on the route, slowed down, and when the ball got in the air, he tried to pick back up speed, and therefore, you know, he didn't get the ball. You get Devontae Smith in one of the games, I think it was against New Orleans or somebody, where Jalen throw the ball in the end zone, Devontae does a cut across.
Yeah, it was New Orleans. There were a couple of those early that turned into interceptions, and maybe, you know, things changed. And Anthony, we appreciate the phone call, and a lot of good points, and I think perspective is interesting as a coach. But yeah, for some reason, I don't know why people think I don't like Jalen. Like, I'm a Jalen Hurts fan.
I don't think you don't like him.
I do like him.
I think you're a fan, and I go a step further. You don't use trigger words that other people tend to use. So, it's you're looking at it from a fan's perspective.
Yeah, and I think of it a couple of ways. One, and I understand what our last caller was saying. I almost separate the run element of Jalen and the pass element of Jalen. I know the run element's there every week. He's a force in the run game. And he makes plays and first downs and third downs become first downs. And, you know, obviously the tush-push stuff. I expect that every week. That's part of his game. Like Steve McNair's game and Cam Newton's game. He has that. What I always look at is, can they keep doing this and win the championship?
Is it sustainable?
Right, the throw, the passing game. And I don't think games like the Ravens game, even though he did good things and he didn't turn the ball over, that to me, the way the passing game worked today is not sustainable to win a championship. Same thing with the Panthers game. Yesterday, the way they threw to get a lead and were up, that's what I want to see. And I thought he did more of that 2 years ago when I thought, you know, he was the best player in the NFL until he got hurt that year. All right, 215-592-9494. Let's hear from A.J. Brown after the game. He was the start of a week of a lot of stuff around here and nationally. Let's hear what he had to say after the game about those hard conversations that they talked about in that locker room.
It's easy for us to have these tough conversations to call each other out because we know what we want at the end, and it makes it easier when we're close. So,
is there anything that, you know, being on the same page this week, is there anything to prepare for that, take the next couple of games to work?
Yeah, I think, like I said earlier, the long repetitive meetings, on top of the meetings we already have, I think it's we may keep doing that.
So, how long is
that? No, it was just a point of emphasis this week, and I think we're gonna move forward. They were pretty long. They were just added throughout our long day already. And I'm not complaining about that anyway. But when you talk about something 10 times, you're like, okay, we got it. But it's needed though. It's needed. And who cares how long we stay in there, because we come out and we put it on performance like today. So.
The funniest part of this, as I listen to them talk about these meetings they went through and how they talked, whether it was on purpose or if Brandon Graham was high or whatever, it worked. Like, this week helped them.
It was a come to Jesus moment.
It galvanized
them.
And
you know what's funny? Because I'm not trying to say I told you so, but remember last year when I said they need to just get in the room and they need to air it out. It feels like that's what happened, because whether he did it on purpose or not, BG put them in an awkward situation where they were forced to deal with it. AJ started it, but then Brandon made it so that, hey, man, we got to figure this out. Because this has the potential, especially now, to be a super special season, man. It really, really does. And these players feel it. And that's why, you had to address it, because there's a potential to have people in silos, Team Jalen and Team AJ. And if it would have went bad, then everybody was like, well, yeah, AJ was right. If we'd have did this, that, and that, we could have did whatever. So now that it's out there and they're playing better, then just keep it going. And you have three teams that, if you play this right and everybody's in a good space, you could really go into the playoffs with a lot of momentum.
Well, momentum.
Like scary momentum.
They haven't lost since September.
Yeah.
And if they win out here.
True story.
That is 13 straight wins heading into the playoffs. That might be good enough for the bye. I mean, there is a chance, and it becomes more real every single week, that the Eagles don't lose a game again this season. Like, that they lost the game in Tampa, they went into the bye, Sirianni shaved his head, and that's it. They win every single game from October whatever through February whatever and win the Super Bowl. Like, that's becoming realer by the second. Let's hear the next one from A.J. Brown here, telling us to all pipe down.
And after the touchdown, I know you guys have done it before, but was that kind of a good way to show people, like,
all right, we're good? For sure. That was our moment to tell everybody to shut up, honestly, I'm telling you.
So, look, we're all having fun with this. I think it's so ironic he's telling everyone to shut up. He started the conversation.
Well, it's how it is. It's they're going to take it. The media's going to take it and run with it. It's us against the world, which I am okay with all of that. But in the real world, because in football, it's Fantasy Island. Mm-hmm. Let's just call it what it is. It's Fantasy Island. And people don't operate the same as they do in the world that we live in. So if that's what it takes for them to galvanize this season against to Louisiana, then so be it.
Is this a chess, not checkers moment? It almost feels like they created their own controversy, brought it to us, we talked about it, and they're like, now you guys shut up. Well, wait a second.
No, yes.
It was your thing.
Yeah, yes. That's exactly what it is, because there's no way on God's green earth that you can say anything rationally to anybody in that locker room and they will understand where we're coming from. Because to them, we made much to do about nothing.
Even though they told us about
yes.
it. That's
yes.
That's the part that makes me laugh.
Like, yeah, it is.
You guys overreacted to what? Well, the story we told you.
You made me remember something that Coach Brazier told me years ago. He said, when you retire from this game, you're gonna have trouble adjusting. And he's like, what do you mean? He said, because people don't think like football players think. And for a while, I never understood what he meant until I started trying to. Now I'm on the other side, but when I played, trying to explain stuff to people that didn't play. But now that I'm back with the gin pop, you know, now it's my job.
In the real world.
Yeah, I'm back in gin pop. Now it's my job to explain to everybody else how they think, how the inmates think, the asylum, the sane asylum, whatever you want to call it.
I think it's half funny and half ridiculous, but I get it. You're saying like...
No, yeah, because it's a different world, though. Because you can sit there and you could talk to somebody and they'll look at me because now I'm the bad guy. I'm in the media. I used to be one of them. Now you got to look at me sideways because you don't know how. But I'm like, dog, do you know if you wouldn't have said a word.
We wouldn't have talked about it.
We would have figured out our storylines and we would have went on about our week. You made our job. This is the reality. You made our job easy for us by running your mouth.
So here's the thing. We're going to react to the game no matter what.
Regardless.
But then we will talk also what they say. So let me take you through last week. If AJ doesn't talk after the game or says very generic things, right? Like says nothing like he said, and the BG doesn't do his show. You know what we're talking about all week? Jalen, right?
Yeah, how he needs to play better.
It's about Jalen's play. But then it became about the locker room, teammates, Sirianni, the turmoil.
That would be backed up with stats. That would be backed up with the fact that over the last couple of weeks, he didn't play well.
Yeah.
But if you throw us a bone or a carrot or whatever, we're going to eat. Just like, how about this perfect example? Just like if Coach Hurt didn't get between Coach Sirianni and Jalen Carter, and Jalen Carter dragged Coach Sirianni all around. Not saying that that's going to happen, but if Jalen Carter would have gripped Sirianni up in his collar, you think we're going to ignore that?
It'd be the biggest story in sports.
The fact that people on TV are talking, we ain't even really talking about it like that. They talking about it nationally, though, because they saw it. Everybody got that. You ever seen Devil in a Blue Dress?
No.
Remember, I think it was Devil in a Blue Dress. It was Denzel Washington and Don Cheadle. Don Cheadle was the cousin, Mouse. And it was an episode, it was a part in the movie where Don Cheadle, Denzel Washington asked him to watch somebody. So when he came back, he was dead. And Denzel asked him, like, why'd you kill him? He said, if you didn't want him dead, why'd you leave him with me?
Your fault.
That's your fault. So that's basically... That's who Jalen Carter is. Jalen Carter's mouse in the situation.
215-592-9494. Final hours to get your call in here on the Midday Show. Now winners of 10 straight games. Are the Eagles the best team in football? We'll look around the NFL at the one seed, the Eagles' outlook, and all the injuries that are now piling up in a remarkable way in Detroit. It's a lot, and it could push the Eagles to being the number one overall seed. 215-592-9494. We'll react with you on the phone line. Sports Radio 94 WIP.
You know, it's the holiday season. It's time to warm up to the comfort foods that you love. They're made even better with Hatfield pork. Yeah, everybody, I'm talking about bacon. And nothing brings holiday cheer quite like the bacon that I also love. From breakfast to appetizers to holiday dinners, bacon adds a perfect touch to the flavor that your family will love. Man, I can talk about bacon all day. So this is what you need to do. You need to visit simplyhatfield.com for recipes and retail location near you. Give the gift of flavor this holiday season with Hatfield.